Jesus Christ, we shall continue our study of the book of Galatians. Now, yesterday we talked about, according to Paul's argument and explanation, that we are all saved by grace, saved by faith, saved by the salvation of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people may ask, okay, now they're saved by grace, we don't have to keep the law of Moses, we don't have to bound by all those things. Does it mean that we are totally free? I can do whatever I want and then come back to repent every day, and God still wash away my sin? Obviously not. That's why Paul yesterday told them, do not abuse your freedom. Do not abuse your freedom. Being free doesn't mean you can do everything you want, but rather you can choose to not do anything that you don't want. And continue on chapter 5. Let's turn to chapter 5, verse 16. Continue the paragraph. Chapter 5, verse 16 on is more about the life in Christ, spiritual cultivation. Even though we are saved by faith, justification by faith, but doesn't mean we don't have to do anything. In the opposite, we have a higher standard than before. So let's look at chapter 5, verse 16. It is a very good verse here, chapter 5, verse 16. 16. Ian, can you read for us loud, please? Okay, underline this verse. It's a very good encouragement for us young men and young brothers and young brothers and sisters. As I said just now during the prayer session, in approximately 30 hours, you'll be leaving this compound, right? Out this door, out this gate. And who is waiting for you? Satan's temptation is waiting there. They say, hey, you guys been the 2 weeks inside. I'll see what you have. I'll see what you got. I still go back to sin. I just repent for 2 weeks and I will come back the same. All you want to show is different. We are a different person. So how do we overcome him? By ourselves, by our own physical determination is not enough. That's why Paul gives us the ultimate goal, the secret weapon that we have. He tells us, so I say, live by the Spirit. Or in other translation, it's called walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit so that you will not gratify the sinful desire or cause sinful flesh. Now, these two things are constantly at war to each other. The biggest battlefield is in our hearts. We have two sides, the tug of war. One side is devil, Satan. He'll use our flesh to tame us, give us temptation. The flesh doesn't like hard thing, doesn't like suffering. The flesh like enjoyment, see beautiful things on earth, like drinking, like pride, like relaxation, don't like prayer, don't like suffer, don't like working for God, don't like live a holy life. Of course, devil will use this sinful flesh to try to tempt us. But Paul is saying, now you have this secret weapon. You have the Holy Spirit. The very easy thing is, do whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. That's why it's called walking in the Spirit. And then Paul said, if you choose to walk in the Spirit, you will not live according to the flesh. There's only two lifestyles. There's no in-between, brother and sister. We can only choose one side. We can be very fervent, live by the Spirit, live a holy life, every day enjoy reading Bible and prayer, going to church, do holy work, simple lifestyle. Or on the other hand, we will be attracted by the world, by our peers in the world, copying what they did, watch the same TV program they do, listen to the same worldly music they do, dating as they do, even fornication as they do. We can only choose one. So Paul tells us that now we have the Holy Spirit, live by the Spirit. What does it mean to be free under the law? Verse 18. Verse 18. Rachel, can you read for us verse 18? What does it mean under the law? Remember, we have the picture of the cage, the prison, the guardian. whatever which is controlling us, controlling the people in the Old Testament is, in the old time, yes, they were given so many law, but they really couldn't keep it. Even they may be keeping part of it, but they didn't keep it from their hearts. They are forced to do so. So whenever there's chance, whenever somebody's not watching, they will do whatever they want to do. That's why the meaning of under the law, what does it mean? It means that you cannot really keep the law. You have no freedom. We cannot control ourselves from sinning. But now we are not under the law. Now Paul gives us a grand new definition of what does this mean, not under the law. Not under the law means we are led by the Spirit. So whatever the Spirit tells you, just do it. Right? Just do it. It's not like here. Just do whatever you want. But just do what the Holy Spirit tells you. Just do it. Now, Holy Spirit has been inspiring us for the past 2 weeks. Just do it when you go back. There was a brother, after going back to NYTS, he heard about we have to live a holy life. Before coming to NYTS, he had a girlfriend outside. He likes her. They're in good relationship. But of course, getting intimate, holding hands and touchy a little bit. But of course, not to the point of committing sin. But after coming to NYTS, he has been praying and filled with the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit keep telling him, first, you're still studying. You should not be dating at all. Secondly, you should not be dating outsider. Thirdly, you shouldn't be even touching or doing anything silly. Wow, Holy Spirit rebuke him. Rebuke him in a prayer. So, in NYTS, he is very sure what does the Holy Spirit tell him. So after he go home, immediately call the girl. Sorry, bye-bye, our relationship finished. The girl was so surprised. What happened to you? He said, nothing, I just called the NYTS. And now we know that we are not supposed to be together. He's so brave. Cut it off. Another brother, as I mentioned, right? Go home, tell the mother, cut off the cable. So whatever our weaknesses, whether it is internet, whether it is TV, whether it's a relationship which is not according to God's will, not holy, anything causes us to sin, anything causes us, the flesh feel good. Drinking habit with a friend, smoking, or even drugs, anything. Laziness, pride, anything. If the Holy Spirit is talking to us, do something, they will just do it. This is all walking in the Spirit. There's another brother. He's been coming to NYTS, and he knows that he's not supposed to watching porn in the internet. But after years, he's still struggling. Until one day, he talked to the preacher. The preacher tell him, do you want to continue to live in sin? Do you want to continue to be like a guy which looks so rare, even though sister would like you? You know, people use porn. People use pornography. People watch those kind of things. They have no confidence. When you look at a girl, you can look it straight into the eye. Really? If you look at all these things, your mind is polluted. You cannot even talk to a sister in a decent and proper way. You're just hiding and feel so ashamed and then so shy, but on the internet you can see whatever you like. You never be able to meet a girl. You never be able to have someone to marry you. Because we look rare if we look at dirty things. Even sister knows. Sister, right? Is it correct? Sometimes your brother look at you, stare at you like, oh, you know, wow, so strange. Right? It's true, but of course, if our heart is pure, even you talk, you look at the eye, you talk, you feel so, oh, that person is pure, it's good. So the preacher told the brother, do you want to continue to live in sin all your life, just watch on the screen and far from God and not able to have a wife, not able to have a life and far from God? He said, no, I don't want that. What should I do then? Get all the stuff. First, bring your computer. Bring my computer? No, I want to keep my computer. If you want to keep your computer, your life finished. Because for the past few years, you've been quitting, but you still could not quit it. Bring your computer. bring all the things you have downloaded, all the DVD, all the, because not only watching, but you also download a lot of pictures, videos, movies, bad things. Bring it here. Throw it through the big garbage can. Bring your computer to your father. From now, no more computer. Not even using computer yourself. Drastic removal, the lustful flesh. If this is the part which causes us to doubt, causes us to sin, remove it totally. If this is Holy Spirit tell you to do, or if Holy Spirit tell you cut the relationship with unbelievers, we have to cut it. Right? Don't live a double life coming here. Oh, NYTS, holy man. By the back, we are doing something, Holy Spirit watching us and see that we are not supposed to be doing. So, just follow the Holy Spirit, please, brother and sister. If the Holy Spirit tell you, now when you go back home, you have to pray 1 hour a day. Just do it when you go back. Morning, half an hour. Before bed, half an hour. If the Holy Spirit tells you, now, from now, don't spend too much time on the internet. Spend more time reading the Bible. Preparing yourself, ourselves for the work of God. Just do it. Live according to the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit push you every Wednesday, have to go to church from now. Don't just be lazy. Don't just come on Saturday. Every member come on Saturday, right? But if you love God, love Jesus, every service we really shouldn't be missing. Make an effort to come to church all the time. If Holy Spirit push us to do this, we have to do it. But of course, if Holy Spirit push us to do it and we don't do it, after a while, Holy Spirit will not push us. And then our flesh will drag us to the opposite direction, back to our old life. And it's even more and more difficult to get out. Things that we should avoid, according to Paul here, if we are lived according to the Spirit, we should avoid a few things. What should we avoid, brother, sister? Here, the first thing is impurity. Okay, let's read. Let's read from verse 19. Let's read from verse 19. Renato, can you read for us verse 19? Verse 19. Now, the conclusion in verse 21, those who practice this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Underline this verse. If we do this, even though we were baptized, we were receiving the Holy Spirit, we were saved by grace, justification, we have the promise going to heaven, inheritance, right? But Paul tells us, if we are not lived by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit, if we constantly still going back to sin and doing all these things, that we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what are these things? The first and foremost is fornication and adultery. These two are the spiritual killers of most members. If they ever commit a mortal sin, 99% of our members commit adultery. Very few members, after belief, going back to worshiping idols and be excommunicated by the church, very few. It's not that we don't have, but very, very few, because going back to an idol actually is not that tempting unless you don't even have faith in Lord Jesus Christ. But why most members who fall mortally fail, it's all because of sexual sin. Because devil know, of all the urge of the flesh, all the desire of the flesh, the sexual desire is the most difficult to subdue, to oppress. Well, you're hungry, you eat food, you can just buy food to eat. It's very difficult to sin by eating anything, unless you go to eat food over to idols. But another basic need of a human being besides food is sex. And when we grow up, we have this urge. And this urge will continue to be there until basically we become 2 weeks lying on a bed on a hospital or we die. Even when we are 70 years old, we can still be committing adultery if we're not careful. So that's why the devil is very cunning. He used this to tempt us and tempt us from the point that we become a teenager or we become sexually mature, like 13, 14 in American culture, where our body hormones are kicking in. So we have to be very careful and don't give the devil any foothold. First, don't commit fornication. Fornication means sex before marriage. This is not good in God's eye. This is a sin in God's eye. Even though you love somebody, even you are dating, even you are in a relationship, even in a matchmaking, but still cannot have sex until the day you get wedding in the church, after we get blessed by the minister. If we don't have the license to do it, we cannot do it. Okay? The license is our marriage certificate. In God's eye, if we are married, we can enjoy sexual relationship with the spouse. So we have to work very hard, pray very hard, avoid all the temptation. That's why, brother and sister, keep a distance before you get married. That's why in our church, brother and sister sit differently, right? There's a boundary here. No brother sit there, right? Of course, until he's married. He's married, it's okay. We have one brother. Married brother can sit with his wife, right? But brother and sister, always keep a distance. Even though you like someone, you're talking to someone in the matchmaking, you still have to be very careful. If we commit fornication, we will lose a lot of bad blessing. But the worst is adultery. Adultery means after we get married, we have sex with anyone other than our spouse. Anyone. Even one time, you say even one time, it is adultery. And it's called deadly sin, mortal sin. That's when we lose our salvation. No second chance. It's very pitiful. So Paul said the number one killer is sexual immorality. So we have to avoid it. But of course, there's much more than that. Idolatry, which means worshipping idol. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is also initiated by fleshly desire. But nowadays, our society treats witchcraft as something funny. Right? People can write a novel, Harry Potter, movie. Wow, it seems that they're innocent, make it innocent. But actually, in the Bible, witchcraft is something very evil, belong to the desire of the flesh, and we really shouldn't be doing it. So, Harry Potter is no good. Hallelujah is good. So, hallelujah more, Harry Potter less. Okay? Hatred also is a flesh, fleshly desire. Yeah, you may not be watching porn, especially for sister, no interest in this kind of thing. Right, we may not be committing fornication or adultery, but Bible tells us if we hate someone, if we really hate someone, we are acting according to the flesh. Especially for sister, which is the bigger temptation, because sister is easy to get jealous. Right? Am I right? Yeah. Brother, agree? Huh? Sister, sometimes the mind, if someone says something, in your heart, you really hate a person. You wouldn't want to talk to the person. Or jealousy. But if we are hating someone, brother the same, not only sister, we are all the same. If we hate someone for any reason, if you look at someone, your heartbeat go faster, not because you like him or her, right? But you hated him, you're angry, the blood pressure going up. Could be your friend, your brother and sister, in future, your mother-in-law. Whoever. If we hate someone, we are acting according to the flesh and we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And also discord, this means no unity. If we are not in peace with any brother and sister in the church, even though you don't hate him, but if it's discord, this means you're not working in together. Even though you may think that he's the one who make all the mistakes, why I have to be together? And living in peace with him. No, Bible doesn't say you are the one, if you are the one didn't make any mistake, you are exempt. If you are in discord with anyone, it's a fleshly desire. Jealousy, if people are better than us, we don't feel good. People go to better school than us, people are more spiritual than us, people do more work than us, and we are envy, jealous. Many other things, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, fraction. All these human weaknesses, negativity of our character shall hinder us to go to the kingdom of God. So what shall we do, brother and sister? If we want to live by the Spirit every day, we should pinpoint and attack those weaknesses. Everyone have different weaknesses, but we have to ask the Lord to give us strength. But on the other hand, we shouldn't be focusing on just the negative. If you focus on the positive, the negative will go away. What is the positive? The positive is following on verse 22, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now here, Paul used the noun fruit. It's a singular verb to describe. Actually, it's not that many different kinds, but rather when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will bear all this good character. And all this good character is interrelated. It's so natural coming from a person with the Holy Spirit fullness in him. So that's why let's read and underline verse 22 to 23. What are the fruit of the Holy Spirit is like? Now, there are a lot of fruit mentioned here. Okay. Look at this. Lovely cherries. I know you are thirsty and hungry. I shouldn't be doing this. But it's lovely, right? The good thing about NYTS is when I come here, I eat more fruit, much more than I am at home. And at home, I only eat apple and orange because it's the cheapest and more easy to get. But here, look at all the fruits that we have. And in Bowen Park Church, it's so loving. They even peel all the fruit, cut it nice, put it in the platter, like we are in a 5-star hotel. And we see all the fruit in different colors. It's really delighting to the eyes and good to the eat. Not only good to see and good to eat. When God made the fruit trees in the Garden of Eden, every fruit tree is good to eat, good to see, good to drink, good to swallow. So the Bible uses the good virtue of anyone filled with the Spirit of God. If he bear good character, it's just like that a tree giving fruit. And when a person eat had the food, try next time before you eat, try to enjoy the color of the orange. Right? If anyone of you just enjoy the color of the apple, sometimes, wow, look at the color. It's shining, really. Wow. The watermelon is so red, right? Tomatoes. So try to enjoy. But the Bible compare. Okay, now let's read one Bible verse first. John 15:8. Can I have Kevin to read for us? Kevin, you're Kevin, right? In yellow. Yes, Kevin. 15:8. Read for us loud and clear. Yeah. Kevin, the one in the yellow shirt, huh? You also, Kevin? Oh, sorry. Okay, Kevin, you read loud, please, huh? Quicker. Pay attention, huh? Okay, thank you, Kevin. By this, my Father is glorified when you bear much fruit, so that you be my disciples. This is very important, brother and sister. How do other people know that we are his disciple? What is the main reason sometimes that we fail to get truth seeker to stay in the church? To stay in the church. Of course, half of the reason is maybe they don't understand the truth. They don't cannot accept it. But sometimes they see us, they don't see good example. That's why they say, oh, you guys are the same. Why should I be coming at all? But if we have good character, better than outsider, better than the one who doesn't believe, better than the one in another denomination, of course they will say, well, true Jesus Church is the best. So how do we know we show them true Jesus Church is the best? We have to bear the fruit. Now, here is some guidance, some hint about what every single spiritual gift might represent. This fruit, the first one is love. When a person feels the Holy Spirit, he'll be so loving. And this love is not from selfish ambition. It's not, oh, I see the sister is so pretty, let me show all the good motive and helping her doing this just because she's beautiful. No. When we have love, it's pure. It's regardless of the person, whether it's beautiful or not, whether his age or whether he's cultural. It's because the person belongs to Jesus, that's why I have to love him or her. But why when a person feels the Holy Spirit, we have love? Simply because God's love. Love cannot be forced. Love cannot say, oh, you have to love more, right? Why don't you have love? No, I cannot do this. Love has to come from within. When you look at a person, you're so compassionate. You look at him, oh, I really should be helping him. I really should be praying for the person. Oh, he's hungry, I have to get him some food. He's sick, I have to go to visit him. It's from inside. So if a person filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll be just like the heart of Lord Jesus Christ. Every day think about other people, not think about himself. So when a person really have a lot of love in him, it really helping him or her to build a healthy relationship. Healthy relationship. Love is the key to a healthy relationship. Love is not only candlelight dinner, brothers. Love is not just praying out for a day and enjoy a cinema movie or go somewhere have fun. Love really is about sacrificing himself or herself in a long-term relationship. So if our relationship with our spouse or if our parent is not in peace, is having something, we may think that maybe I'm lacking of love. Don't just blame the other side. Maybe I myself is lacking love. That's why our relationship is not healthy. Secondly is joy. When a person filled with the Holy Spirit, he will be joyful automatically. You don't have to ask him to pretend. He will be joyful. Look at all of us here for the past 14 days almost. We've been doing nothing else but praying, reading the Bible, fellowship. How do we feel now? Any one of you feel very happy now? Raise your hand. Very joyful. Raise your hand. Even though physically you're very tired, but you're very joyful. Raise your hand. Yeah, I think we all have the joy of spirit. That's why when a person, sometimes we feel we are always very sad, we are always very worried, we are not happy. Why? What is the reason? Very simple. Because we are not filled with the spirit. We have too much worry, too much complaint. We have not prayed enough. We have complained too much. We have prayed too little. That's why we are not joyful. Thirdly, about patience, peace. When a person is filled with... Oh, the letter is too small. You cannot see. You should tell me. Oh, it's too big. You cannot see. Okay, peace. Peace is about overcoming anxiety and conflict. In our life, it's impossible to have smooth life, smooth cell, everything we do. Actually, the more we grow up, the more reality that we encounter in this world. And this is not a perfect world. It's far from being a perfect world because of sin. Many things, many troubles. No matter it's in relationship, in career, in studies, in health, it's far from what we wish. We always have anxiety that we don't know what about tomorrow. You don't know whether you graduate, you'll get a job. After you get a job, you don't know whether you can stay in a job. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but it doesn't matter. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our heart will be so peaceful. Our worries will be transformed into peace. And then you don't worry. After we pray, deep in the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues, Holy Spirit really guided us. Oh, Holy Spirit just erase all the worries. You know the problem is still there, but we know God will take care. God will take care of the rest. Don't worry. I don't even worry. That is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't have peace, we always worry. We always trouble. We cannot fall asleep. Why? Because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's why when we feel the Holy Spirit, basically we have everything we need. Patience is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at God, our Heavenly Father. If He were not patient with us, do you know what would happen? If He were not very patient to us, what would happen? Yes, brother? Yes. We will be punished. We will be burned in fire already. Right? Our God is super patient to a parent. Who is the most patient person on earth? It's our parent from the day we were born till now. The past 20 years, 20-some years, our parent has been very patient to us. We've been making a lot of mistakes, saying many things bad, hurting even to our parents, disappointed them somehow. But they have been so patient to us. They never desert us. Our God is super patient to us. Why? Because He's God. He's so loving. When you are so loving, when we are so loving, we'll be patient to a person. There was one time a brother translating for me in another country, and he really did a lousy job. You know, when a person is not translating properly, it's really affecting me as a speaker to preach. I remember another occasion. Another country, another person translating another preacher. In the middle of the sermon, the preacher told him, "Brother, you go down. You come up. You help me, you're better. You come up." Oh, the brother will go down here, show a shame of himself. And that brother from that day never ever want to do any holy work. Because he thinks he's lose face and he's put to shame in the public. Of course, maybe the pastor, he has his reason. He said, "Oh, I cannot continue to speak because of you translating, so you go down, you come here." Right. So I was thinking about this example, what should I do? Should I tell him to go down? But later I think, no. I was thinking, if he were my son, what would I do to him? If he were my son, would I tell him, "Hey son, you go down, you're doing a bad job. Come up here." I think I won't, right? Because if he were my son, I would be very patient to him. I see many parents very patient to their children. Even the children cannot be really doing something very well, but they say, "Hey, keep doing it. No problem. Just try and keep trying." So I think, oh yeah, suddenly I understand how God instructed us. Be patient to others. Don't just criticize others. Give chance. Sometimes think, oh, if I were your age, I would do the same. So why rebuke you? All right? We all went through these things together. So God is super patient to us. So when we have patience, not only to people, but to God, we can have the benefit of waiting. You know, God's time really requires us to have a patient heart. If we are not patient, you think, "Oh, God giving what I want, so I have to do it myself." We suffer. Just like Abraham. God promised him a son, but there's no son. The wife, Sarah, do not have patience. "Oh, let's do it our way." More trouble in the future. Kindness, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll be so kind to everyone around us. This kindness cannot be pretend or cannot be forced. It's all out of love. It's reaching out to those in need. So brothers, after coming to MITS, what is the biggest things that we have to learn? Not only the biblical knowledge. But when we go back, we see, oh, don't be proud. Say, "Oh, I am the MITS badge. You guys don't go to MITS. You guys are not spiritual. You guys are all lazy. Summertime, don't go to MITS. Look at us." Don't be doing this. Especially, we have to be especially kind to those who didn't come to MITS. Don't try to defend yourself. "Oh, yeah, I'm spiritual. Now I'm MVP. I'm PMEP. No, don't even mention this. But try to be friend with those who doesn't come to church always. Try to befriend, message them, talk to them, pray for them who are relatively weaker. Goodness, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, we have love, joy, peace, all of these are goodness, really will draw people to God. The most successful evangelist is when people are attracted by our character, they'll ask, "Why you are so good? Can you tell me why you're so good? Who teach you this? Who trained you?" And then you say, "Oh, I'm TJC member." And then and then you say, let's come to our church. And then this is the best evangelist. They say, you're a good character. We are very kindness, goodness, faithfulness, the foundation of a true relationship. We have to be faithful to our friend, otherwise nobody wants to be friend with us. Faithful means when you promise somebody, you have to do it. Even though you suffer, you have to do it. Faithfulness, God is faithful. When he promised us something, he did it. He promised Abraham, he did it. He promised the Israelites, he did it. God is faithful. So for us, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to be faithful to people. If you promise the church, I will do this for the church, you have to do it. Some youth, the church organized them, even put them in the hymn leader. They failed to show up. Some apply them for the pianist. They fail to show up. Our e-class teacher failed to show up or show up late. How can the church trust us if we are not faithful in small tasks? So when a person feels the Holy Spirit, when they have a task, the church give it to him or her, he'll be so excited and he'll be all his optimal best faithfully done the job to please Jesus. And last but not least, we have two more. Gentleness. The most powerful speech is not shouting or rebuking. Of course, sometimes we have to speak loud to be heard. But just let us ask ourselves, if a person always shouts at you, will you listen to him? Will you listen to him? No, right? If a parent always shouts at you, will you listen to him? Very difficult. But if someone really loves you, and when you have a problem, you have difficulties, come pat your shoulder. Hey, brothers, I know where you come from. I'll pray for you. Hang on there. Try harder. Gentle voice is more powerful than shouting and rebuking. So when a person will feel the Holy Spirit, he will not proud. When he is humble, actually, I had the same mistake. Why should I rebuke you loud? I know where you come from. So he'll be so gentle and meek. And last but not least, self-control. When a person filled with the Holy Spirit, he will only spend less than half an hour every day on the internet. Self-control. Try, limit your time on the internet, let's say 30 minutes for leisure, all right? Self-control, yeah, I can control. Time's up, stop tomorrow. Video game, if you want to play, self-control, 15 minutes. If you cannot control, don't play at all. If you watch TV, okay, if you can do self-control, half an hour. If you cannot self-control, don't even watch. If a person filled with the Holy Spirit, he can control himself doing only what is right in God's eye. So, brother and sister, let us all work together by praying hard, by asking, oh God, please every day give me all this fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let me be a different person when I go back. Fruit is delightful to see and to eat. So if we all bear fruit, when we go back to our local church, everybody will love us. And truth seeker also be a mind. We thank God for this. Let's all pray in silence to prepare our hearts for the Sabbath service.